worship you, Almighty God. Worship you, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. With all that's in me, that I would hear your voice, that I would follow your leadership, Lord. The best that I can, the best that I can discern, that I would follow you, Lord. That I would say things that you want me to say. Worship you, Father. Worship you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for all that you are. We thank you for the brethren, Lord. We thank you that we see each other through love, Father. We all have weaknesses, and we all have strengths. They have weaknesses. They have strength. We all do, Lord. But our comfort is this, that even in that growth process, you are so merciful to us, Lord. You are so merciful to us. We can hide things from each other, Father, but we cannot hide them from you. You, Father, in secret, you see in secret. No need to lie to each other. If our Father in secret sees in secret, that is a revelation in itself. You can grasp that truth, it will help reduce our lying a lot. Our Father in secret, he sees in secret. Our Father in secret sees in secret. So we might as well always tell the truth. Amen. Why hide it? The only person we're fooling is who? Ourselves. So might as well be honest, because our Father in secret, he sees in secret. And I'm ministering to myself. I'm ministering to myself. Amen? Amen. Glory. I know this is a capacity crowd. Be careful when you cross the aisle and say hi to somebody. Don't trip over anybody. Amen. Glory. Glory. I really believe we're going to have a great, great time tonight. If you have ears to hear, I promise you, there's something that I've been going through in the scriptures for a while, ministering to myself, really just ministering to myself, knowing that I need adjustments. How many adjustments do you need? That's none of your business. My prayer has been, Lord, that when I behold your word, that it just chastised me, Lord. I judge myself in your presence, that I would see the image that the 11 saw, that I would see what they beheld, and that I would finish being half the man that they were. That's my prayer. That's my prayer. And I believe if you listen, there's more to this walk with Christ than living a lifestyle of inconsistency. That has been the norm in the body of Christ. 2 or 3 days of prayer, 2 or 3 days off. Does that relate to us sometimes? Yeah. How you doing? Great. How you doing? The day you were doing great, you were doing great. The day you said you weren't doing great, you just repeated a false narrative. That's all you did. You repeated exactly what your flesh wanted you to repeat. The same truth that you had in you on Monday that was alive and kicking in your spirit is the same truth that is in you in Wednesday when you said, I'm doing not so great. You gave in to a false narrative. That has been the norm in the corporate body of Christ. The norm. We live and die beholding a Bible verse and never going any further. We live beholding Bible verses and never going any further in the corporate body of Christ, never knowing what the true struggle is. But tonight, with his grace and his spirit, hopefully, through my defeats and through my victories, I will be able to transfer to you the mind of Christ as he has ministered to me for months on this issue within my life. Amen. So if you, somebody will pass out the buckets, please. Pretty please. I don't know, Otto or somebody who's brought, whoever has them. I promise you, if you have an ear to hear, you'll be blessed tonight. I promise you. I promise you. You'll prepare your hearts. So some of you have already prepared. Some of you have already made out your offerings. I can assure you this. I can assure you this. That every penny sold into this ministry is spent wisely. Trust me. It's budgeted very well, and you're sowing in a good ground. I can promise you that. So stand with me, please. We're going to go right into the Word, and I promise you, you're going to have a good time tonight. Amen. So, Father, we thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to give out of freedom, out of liberty. We're able to sow our seed, Father God, into this ministry for the expansion of the kingdom, Lord. We thank you, Father. It's an honor and a pleasure to do this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Bring it forward, please. Is that everybody? Miss Candy? Yep. All right, Father, we bless you. We thank you, Father, for seed sown in good ground. I ask you to bless them, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory. Can be seated. Hallelujah. Marty, you know what you got to get ready for me, don't you? I had a good time with Harry the other day. He didn't even know it. It was Monday. It's 55 degrees outside. I opened the window up in my bedroom. The air was coming in. Harry was in the background. He didn't even know it. Harry or Robert, I don't know who does the medley. One of the Plamundans were with me Monday. The medley was playing. I had my beanie on because I do not brush my hair in the morning. I think I had my black beanie. I don't know which one I picked. I was just there in my chair. Breeze coming in and Dunkin' Donuts in my right hand. Worshiping the Lord. Oh, I mean, it was as awesome as it sounds. Harry in the background, Dunkin' Donuts in my right hand, my beanie on, kicked back, the window open, and the fresh, cool air, and the I love you, Jesus, just kept coming out. In the voice of my friend Barry Johnson, life is good. You know you got a problem with coffee when you sit down, you take a sip, and the first word you say is glory. You have a problem with coffee if you didn't say glory before you took the first sip. You know that coffee had to be spectacular. Glory. I said, Lord, I got problems. But Robert and Harry are always welcome with me in the last few days with this little medley, and I love it. There's something about it. If ever I go home early, Miss Candy, make sure they play this while they're burying me. Play Robert and Harry. I got to hear it. Might bring me back from the dead. Glory. I'm real excited. I usually don't get excited to minister God's word. But I think I'm going to present something to you out of touching the area of abundance. Touching something new to me. I behold the 11, and they sort of make me mad. They sort of make me mad. I envy them. And I said, Lord, you know, Pastor calls it revival. He calls it an outpouring. I like calling it a display of the kingdom. Who's right? Well, Bobby Boucher's mama calls football foosball. Haitian Americans and Mexican Americans call football football. African Americans call football football. White people call it football. At the end of the day, what's it all mean? Same thing, football. Pastor calls it revival. I call it a manifestation of the kingdom. Same thing. Same exact thing. That's just what I like saying. And I behold the image of the epistles. And I behold the image of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. As I go over them, I'm kind of crazy, man. I'm crazy. A good kind of crazy. I told a group of young ladies at my house the other day, and it was prophetic. I said, you got to understand the parable of the sower. If you do not understand the parable of the sower, I'm not talking about remembering a verse. You can hear a good teaching from the prayer center or from Pastor Bronk and remember what they say and it not be real to you. That's the only danger in this walk, that we think we can remember a good teaching and live with what we remember. No, 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 no. It goes far beyond remembering. Far beyond remembering. Far. It goes to a place of first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn on the ear. And I behold the 11, and I said, there's something about them that I'm not seeing. What did they do that I'm not doing? How could they give it all in the epistles? There's been a break in continuity in the kingdom of God. A cycle has been broken, completely broken. There's no continuity anymore. A cycle has been broken. I did the big mistake of going through 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and the book of Titus for the last 2 weeks. Big mistake for me. Big mistake. And I was talking to Delia and Ruben about it. By the way, Delia makes the best chili in the world anyway. I was going through 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. And I got news for you. I was put into a place of authority, and I wasn't even ready. Those books convinced me of that. When I was put into a place of authority years ago, I did not meet half of the qualifications of an elder or a bishop. Now, you're going to beat yourself up over that? No, I'm not. I didn't put myself there. They put me there. It's on them. But I did not meet the qualifications of an elder. And I'm still short now. But I know what I'm after. And I behold 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy and the book of Titus. And the lapse or the break in continuity or the cycle being broken is just this. Theology, seminary, and self-exaltation have put people behind a pulpit that have no business being there at all. Elders, appointed elders that do not even belong in eldership. At all. That's the problem in the kingdom. Well, what's the lapse? What's the break in the continuity? I'll tell you what the break in the cycle is. A complete break in the cycle. A complete lapse or break in continuity. A complete break in a spiritual cycle. Jesus Christ, Messiah, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's not mistake for what he really was. He was a slave. A servant, a voluntary slave. That slave, that voluntary slave, taught the 12, which were disciples. Then they became apostles. Read the epistles. What did they often call themselves? Servants. Servant in the Greek interpreted a voluntary slave. And I said to myself, what is it about them? They make me mad. They talked about their martyrdom. The common modern day Christian, we're scared of death. The apostles wrote about martyrdom. The modern day Christian calls a flat tire an attack from Satan. The apostles were in prison and beaten and counted it all joy. The modern day saint with dirty hands wants to post on Facebook about their faith. The apostles with clean hands posted the book. We got a long way to go. The modern day saint wants to mark up his body. The apostles received marks on their back. On their back. The modern day saint wants to be heard. The apostles wanted Christ to be seen. I have a long ways to go, my friends. A long ways to go. Long ways to go. But I know where I'm going. Those 11, they didn't care what people thought about them. They were martyred and killed because they did not compromise the truth, and they never offered an apology. Someone said to me the other day in a good way, they said, somebody left the church because Pastor Bronk was preaching on abortion. I said, well, on behalf of Pastor Bronk, we offer no apology. We offer no apology. Let me tell you one thing. If you're a Christian and there's not enough compassion in you to defend the unborn in a womb, you have very little compassion inside of you. You might want to look into the mirror. That might have hurt. But the continuity, the lapse in the kingdom is there are no more servants. Paul was a servant and an apostle. He wrote in the book of Titus, a servant and an apostle. We want names nowadays. But the apostle said, I'm a voluntary slave. Well, you're a voluntary slave to what? That's the way I have dialogue with the Holy Ghost or with God. You said slave over and over again. Can you define slave for me? Well, there's modern day interpretations which are correct a little bit. I do believe a person helping out in the church is a fruit of a servant. I believe that, but not always. Can you prove it? Oh, you better believe I can prove it. I do believe that a person that is a slave to God, a fruit of that somewhat is their diligence in the church, cleaning the carpet or driving a bus or whatever. I do believe that to an extent. I believe that a true servant of God will do these things, but that isn't the biblical definition of what a servant is. So you're trying to tell me just because you vacuum the floor, you pull the chairs out, you drive the bus, that qualifies you as a servant? Yay, but not really. What if a young man comes in here in a wheelchair with no legs? Is he not a servant? So then servanthood or being a slave, it must be internal. Can you prove it? Oh, I can prove it. Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. I think it's verse 4 or 5. You know, I'm just exhorting. I'm not teaching. As the servants of Christ. As the servants of Christ. Can you define to me, Paul, in Ephesians, what a servant of Christ is? Is it a man that cleans the church after dinner on the grounds? Is it a woman that would clean the dishes after dinner on the grounds? Somewhat. But the biblical, spiritual definition of a servant or a slave of Christ is this. As the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. A servant of Christ is one that does the will of God from the heart with goodwill. Doing service, not unto men, but unto God. And that word service in the Greek is interpreted ministry. We all want ministries. But Paul called ministry a man or a woman that would disown themselves and with all their heart do the will of God that is written in their heart. That, my friends, has been forgotten. There are no more slaves in the kingdom of God. Everybody wants a title. That's why the church is so messed up. theology, schools of seminary have ordained people to go into the world because they got a 93 on a test. Are you against it? No, I'm not. I grew up fortunate enough where my dad could have paid for me to go to college to go. I could have gone. But thank God I got introduced to the walk in the Spirit. Thank God I got introduced to praying in the Holy Ghost. Those 11, my friends, were apostles and they changed the world. But they were slaves, voluntary slaves. Christ was a slave. He taught the 12 to be slaves. The 12 wrote the epistles and instructed everyone to be slaves. The cycle has been broken in the modern day church. We want titles. We want this. Whatever happened to being a voluntary slave? We can do more for the kingdom by living according to the inner witness than we ever can with this microphone in our hand. As slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from our hearts. As servants of Christ, doing the will of God from our hearts. With goodwill, doing service, doing ministry, not unto men, but unto God. When I deal with Christina Harding, I'm not dealing with her. I'm dealing with the Father. When someone's mean to me, I can't see them as being the problem, as being flesh and blood. I got to know that I'm a slave. I've made myself a voluntary slave to the will of God written in my heart. A person that lives with that conviction, that's the one that the Father can use. That's the one that the Father will exalt. As a slave of Christ, Paul said, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill, doing service, not unto men, but unto God. The 11, if you read the epistles, if you read the Sermon on the Mountain, almost all of the epistles were derived from the parable of the sower and from the mount, the Sermon on the Mount. If you do not comprehend the parable of the sower, you are going to be inconsistent your whole entire life in Christ. Completely inconsistent. Week on, week off. Week on, week off. Week on, week off. Living our lives out of a false narrative that lives in the flesh. You have to understand the parable of the sower. You have to understand the parable of the sower. I'm telling you. And I'm going somewhere with this. I'm here to help you. I want to volunteer myself to be a slave in the Lord's army. I've got to finish like the 11. I've got to finish like that. I want to finish like that. If I do not finish like that, I died a failure. I have taught myself. It's easy to read this when you feel like it. It's easy. Because there's no resistance from your flesh. It's easy to read 1 John when you feel like it. But this is where the body of Christ misses it. When they don't feel like it, they usually don't. And when the false narrative speaks up and when we listen to it and we don't sow the word continually, because we don't feel like it, then we're going to say and do what we shouldn't do. Amen? I'm telling you, I'm promised, there is a place in God. There is a place in God. That's why you find a believer, including myself, that if you go a season without sowing God's word, you're going to contradict the word of God with your lips. You're going to contradict it. There's a place. It's easy to sow the word when you feel like it. It's another thing to sow it when you don't feel like it. Listen to me. I promise you, if you sow the word long enough when you don't feel like it, listen to me, before Almighty God, if I'm lying, may I never touch this pulpit again. If you train your little body to sow God's word when you don't feel like it, there will come a place in time during that sowing process when everything in you opposes that quiet time. When you do that consistently, I'm telling you, there'll be a time and place where you won't always endeavor to pray. You'll do it just because you love it. But most sow when they feel like it, but when they don't feel like sowing, they stop and they never cross a hurdle. They never cross it. I'm here all the time, not because I have to be. I love it. I love beholding the word of God. My season of sowing, try 3 or 4 years of a false narrative saying you'll never see. You think I didn't want to stay home for those 3 or 4 years that I was blind? You don't think I wanted to feel sorry for myself? You don't think I wanted to quit? I told my wife one time, go drop me off somewhere. Leave me. Maybe a car will run over me. I'm tired. You don't think I wanted to quit? You don't think I wanted to quit? Oh, I wanted to quit so many times. But I taught myself to keep sowing the word when I didn't feel like it. And before Almighty God, you can't take it from me no more. I don't attempt to read. I don't come to my office because I have to. I do it because I love it. I do it because I love it. I sowed a lot when I didn't feel like it. I'd run into a wall and get so mad and maybe say 1 or 2 curse words is none of your business. Oh, I wanted to quit. God, if I said, Lord, just take me. Just take me now. Man, I'm glad I wasn't a fool back then. I sold when I didn't feel like it. 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 And now I sow because I love it. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn on the ear. The 11 sold when they didn't feel like it. And they brought forth the fruit 100-fold. You sow God's word to keep it. The apostles kept it even unto death. Being martyred, hung upside down, filleted alive, they kept it till the very last breath was uttered, knowing what was at stake. A harvest. They redefined the word servant. Voluntary slaves of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We were structured internally. We are structured internally for adversity. Keep sowing. Keep sowing the word. Keep sowing the word. Keep sowing the word. Keep sowing the word. You will come if you do not stop. If you endure, if you stand your ground, you will come to a place, even if you miss a day or two because of seeing your dad at wherever, there's no condemnation whatsoever because you know that tomorrow will come around and you'll get to raise your hands tomorrow. There is a place, if you sow when you do not feel like it, there'll come a place in time where you'll sow because you love it and you desire it more than your own wife or husband. Honey, you're looking mighty fine tonight, baby. Smelling good. What is that, Avon? There's a place where, honey, you're going to Walmart today. Yeah, well, you know, you can just drop me off at the church. Give me my medium with two pumps of French vanilla. Just take your time. Pick me up when you get back. You'll love it. You'll love it. Because something happens internally where there can even be peace in you even while you're being healed. The apostles knew the power of sowing God's word. You sow it to keep it. And the greatest preacher and the greatest teacher in the world is one that will sow God's word and keep it. That's what Paul taught Titus. He taught Titus. He said, speak the things that become sound doctrine. He said that the world may adorn the gospel of God, our Savior. That the world may adorn the gospel of God, our Savior. That they may adorn it. If they adorn it by our lifestyle, therein is a display of the kingdom, my friends. As a slave of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart with goodwill, doing service, not unto men, but unto God. In every situation, the word of God is in my heart, saying, keep me, big boy, keep me. We were structured for adversity. We were structured to endure. We were structured to stand firm in adversity. How much do you want to let your light shine? No one lights a candle and puts it under a bed or under a bushel, but on a campstand, on a lamp, and it gives light to all that are in the house. What's he meaning? That's on the other side of the parable of the sower. Meaning you sow your word where? Into their heart. The pearl of great price, it was sown into the what? The earth, the ground. There's a pearl of great price inside of our heart. God saying, my God, my word, Kirsten, my God, Rosie, Miss Gay, it's written in your hearts. No gray area, ladies. There's no gray area. There's no bad days, no wiggle room. Keep it, Marty. Keep it, Reuben. Keep it, Simon Peter. Keep it, Paul. Lord, we'll keep it. We know there's a harvest. We cannot be slaves to God if we're not slaves to his word. Fellowshipping with God is not based on an emotion or an outburst of praying in tongues in the altar. That's not exactly koinonia. Fellowship with God is a man or woman that would keep the word of God. When my children leave my house, I always give them an instruction. Do not text while you drive. How did I relay my heart to my children that drive? By what? What did I use to relay the message from my heart to my children? What did I use? Words. Hoping that they would obey my heart and my love to them expressed with words. Son, listen to your dad's words. Don't text, son. Well, how else does the father express his love to me and you? Through what? Words. If I don't keep his words, am I having fellowship with him? But the 11 knew the pearl of great price that lived in their heart. They wouldn't let it go. They wouldn't let it go. Hanging upside down on the cross, being martyred, and still preaching the gospel. They knew there was people whose candle was not lit around them that needed a Savior. the Father needs slaves. He needs slaves. Voluntary slaves. We are structured and built for adversity. We endure hardness as good soldiers. According to what? According to the power of God inside of us. We were made to go through affliction. We were made to endure, to stand our ground according to the power of God. We were made to ease through diverse temptation and fiery trial. We are structured with a heavenly DNA to make it. A flat tire is not an attack for Satan. You should have ran over the nail. Satan's attacking my finances. No, you spent more than what you made, you dummy. Satan. No, had nothing to do with him. We can learn from the 11 as they learn from the true slave. When Paul instructed Titus to ordain elders in the island of Crete, he said, ordain men that are slaves. Don't ordain them and then ask them to be slaves. You ordain the slaves. Not slaves in the making. The slaves that are ready, those are the ones you ordain. I was ordained way before my time. Way before. I have made so many mistakes. We have the finest teachers in the world that teach us. And I'm all about sound doctrine. You can't pray in the Holy Ghost all morning and most of the day and not develop the true image of God's word. But one thing supersedes the sound doctrine that we teach. If we're going to teach it, we better live a life of sound doctrine. We better live it. We better live it. Chapter 2 of Titus is powerful. We better live it. In adversity, we better live it. Sow the word when you don't feel like it. And the day will come where you've sown it so much against a false narrative or against opposition that it'll be easy to sow it the rest of your life. Don't stop when you feel like stopping. Listen, most of you that work, you have 30 minutes to an hour lunch break. Open that Bible up for 30 minutes, man. Yes, pray in the Holy Ghost, but I will never tell you to pray in the Spirit without telling you to read your Bible. That's not what Paul told Timothy to do. He said, partake of the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. Don't you dare lay that Bible down. Don't you dare lay it down. Don't lay it down. Pray in the Holy Ghost throughout the day. If you got 30 minutes of lunch break, open up that Bible for 30 minutes and you'll behold perfection. He's looking for slaves. Voluntary slaves. What you need is inside of you. We endure hardness as good soldiers by obeying the word of God that is never bound inside of me and you. You cannot stop the operation of the word of God in a man or a woman that wants to keep plowing forward. You can't stop it. The word of God is internal. The light of God is internal. Most of the time, that light is smothered by the flesh. That is the bushel that covers it. No one lights a candle and puts it under a bed, meaning the word of God is in you. The light of God is in you. The only way that internal light shines externally, if you sow it and you keep it, then what's inward, the inward light will be shown externally, and the kingdom of God will be manifested as me and you do not waver from that internal, eternal truth. That is what God is looking for. You'll know where a person is. When money starts coming, you'll know where a saint is. When money starts coming in, you'll know where a saint is. When Mr. Right or Mr. Wrong or Mrs. Right or Mrs. Wrong comes, you'll know where that saint is. Heard somebody say the other day, I said, be careful. They said, this woman is an 8. This one is a 9.5. I said, wait a minute. That 9.5 one day will be pregnant, and she will go from Miss Coca-Cola bottle body to Miss 2-liter. I said, don't base that on a scale of 1 to 10, Mr. 3. Because Miss Coca-Cola bottle body will get pregnant. And she'll grow old. Do you still got the guts to love her till death do you part? Do you still got the guts? I told my wife to worship, thank you for loving me. Love me when I don't work. You work all day long. Come home and cook for me. Thank you for loving me at this time in my life. I think she loves me now more than she ever has. Thank you for sticking with me. I know there was hard times, baby, I put you through. Thank you for loving me. Yeah, I've gotten older. Gray hair. But man, she's an awesome superwoman. And I told that young man, Miss 10 will be pregnant one day. She'll look like a 2-liter. And vice versa, men. We look like kegs sometimes. You better pray to God that the person that you think God has for you is compatible to you in spirit. You better pray to God that they're compatible to you in spirit. You better pray to God and stop using girls and rating them on a schedule, on a scale. Stop using them. That's about as false a narrative as there is. I'm glad my wife didn't rate me. She would have done left me a long time ago. The man don't work. Take me here. Take me there. Give me Dunkin' Donuts coffee. He's grouchy half the time. But man, she's stuck with me. She is stuck with me. And though I wasn't 8, now I'm a 10. I understand that. She's stuck with me. On a scale of 1 to 50. What if I could ever convince you to comprehend the parable of the sower? And notice he said that you would bring forth fruit with patience. Not easy. Who fulminated the force of consistency. You read the apostles, you read the epistles, they mention the word endurance and patience a lot. They knew what was at stake. Enduring hardness as a good soldier, I stand my ground, Lord, according to your word. According to your word. You take the parable of the fig tree or the parable of the mustard seed. I'm almost done, believe it or not. You know, you plant a mustard seed into the earth, right? I'm paraphrasing. And it brings forth, it roots and it goes through the earth and it produces, the Bible says, great branches, right? And it says that the fowls of the air come and they lodge underneath the branch, right? Right? Have you ever heard of a talking branch? we got a palm tree that talks. I understand that. And it sounds like gay. But have you ever heard of a talking branch? Yet the Bible says, regarding faith, that the fowls of the air came and they lodged underneath the branch. Do you think that branch said, hey, come lodge underneath me? That would be an impossibility. Amen? Well, then how did the fowls know that the branch was there and that they could lodge underneath it? How? They what? They what? They saw it. But we want to be heard. But the branch was seen. And there's 6 billion people in this world that need something from the kingdom. If they see God's light manifested in me and you, trust me, they will come. They're not going to come because we say we walk in light. They're going to come when they see the light and the love of God in us, my friends. Just like the birds came and lodged underneath the branch that they saw. When society sees that we keep God's word, and if they got the capacity to be wooed, we can woo them, my friends, when they see the fruit that we walk in. Has a lot more to do. Society's been hearing the church for years. You don't believe me? Get on Facebook. Get on there. But the branch was seen by the fowls. It came and lodged underneath it and were refreshed. We get to the place in time where people see the light of God in us, my friends. That's when we know that we are sowing and keeping his word. That is what he's after. Sow the word. Sow the word. Because when prosperity comes, you'll be sowing the word. Sow the word. Sow the word. Fire trials are going to come. Sow the word. Sow the word. Sow the word. There's going to be things happening in your life. Sow the word. Sow the word and keep it. Sow the word and keep it. Sow the word and keep it. Because when trials come, if you're not sowing the word, you're not going to walk through them. When hell breaks out in the home, you're going to fall to pieces because you didn't sow the word. When the day of adversity came, you failed because your strength was small. Sow the word. Sow the word so that you do not count a flat tire as an attack from Satan. Sow the word. 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 When you get fired from work, you don't panic because you sowed the word and you kept it. When mama leaves the house or daddy leaves the house, sow the word. Sow the word and keep it. Because when it happens, you'll still stay sane because of the word. You'll still stay strong because of the word that you sowed and that you kept. You'll bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and then revival status or display of the kingdom status. Let that light shine. Let that internal light shine externally. Sow the word. Sow it. Sow it. Sow it. Sow it. You don't understand what he did. You don't understand what she did. No. I might not. But you don't understand what he did. He treated me bad. She treated me bad. He didn't. Sow the word. Sow the word. He said, Ralph, we're going to the other side. He said, we're going to the other side. Is Christ a liar? Or did the soul of the 12 talk them in to believe in Christ was a liar? Sow the word. Sow the word. The 11 sow the word and they kept it unto death. Endurance, they stood their ground according to the power of God inside of them. They didn't need to be validated by those in the synagogue. Their faith, their born-again spirit, the fruit validated who they were in God. They didn't need no one to give them likes on Facebook. They didn't need to mark up their body to validate their faith. They didn't have to, as men, prick holes in their ears to feel more secure about who they were. Are you against earrings? No. But it doesn't validate your faith. Are you against tattoos? Nobody's going to hell for a tattoo. But it doesn't validate your faith. Walking according to integrity, that validates your faith, man. Slaves, voluntary slaves, they sow the word. When adversity comes, they walk through it. That's what soldiers do. That's why I so cry when I hear the national anthem. I so cry when I hear of people burning our flag. Soldiers go into harm's way knowing that they might not come home, yet they bear their arm. They walk into Muslim countries and they're killed and they do not complain. If they can do that in the natural, why can't we sell out to the kingdom? Slaves. Voluntary slaves, we sow the word. We sow the word. We sow the word. We sow it and keep it. We sow it and keep it. We sow it and keep it. Not just when we feel like it, but when we don't. Keep sowing when you don't feel like it. You'll keep it after that dry time in your life. You'll keep it and you'll look forward to it. But you gotta go forward with diligence, man. Quit being passive. Either you're going to like this or you're going to hate it. It's okay. I'm okay with it because I'm trying to help you, man. I'm trying to help you overcome the inconsistencies and the dry times in your life if you just learn to sow the word when you do not feel like it. And by the way, eat your bread in silence. Eat your bread in silence. Most people that post on Facebook of what they're going to do for the kingdom, they never do it. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to read more. No, you're not, because if you were, you wouldn't be advertising. You just do it. Just do it. Be quiet and do it. Just do it. Stop looking for validation from people. They can't validate you. You're stamped and approved internally by the Spirit of God. Let's walk according to that righteousness. Let's walk according to His grace that's in us. His grace teaches us to overcome the world. It doesn't excuse us. It teaches us, according to Titus 2. The grace of God has been given to all men. It teaches us to deny ungodliness, to live soberly in this world. That's what the grace of God does inside of us. My God, sow the word. Sow the word. Sow the word. When adversity comes, you'll put that candle on the candlestick. And the world would say, my God, what happened to Miss Gay? Marty ran off with another woman. But did you feel the presence of God when Miss Gay preached the gospel? Miss Gay, I got to tell you, can I pull you to the side? Yeah, Homer, what's up? I said, Miss Gay, I got to tell you something. I know you've been with Marty for 20 years, and he ran off and left you with your kids. Miss Gay, I didn't just hear your words, Miss Gay. I felt them. Can you tell me, Miss Gay, what you did? Homer, I'm not going to lie to you, says Miss Gay. I was hurt. But I talked myself into Homer into being a slave. And I sold. I sold. I cried and I hurt. And I sold. And I sold His word. I sold His word. And it sustained me. So if I can answer your question, Homer, I never stopped spending time with Jesus, even when I didn't feel like it. Miss Gay, lay your hands on me, please. Transfer it over to me. Sow the word. Sow the word. Yes, I pray in the Holy Ghost a lot, but I will never tell you. To tell you to pray in the Holy Ghost is a 100% truth. But it's half of a whole truth. You can never, never, never forsake this book here. Never, never forsake what's written. Never forsake it. Sow the word. sow the word. Sow the word with one mindset. Not to teach it verbally, but to keep it internally. And that keeping internal of the world will teach the world that lie, that God is in you of a truth. Sow the word. Sow the word. Sow the word. Bring forth fruit with patience. You're going to have another day where you don't want to sow it. Even after hearing this today, you're going to wake up in the morning not wanting to sow it. Sow it. Plant it with one mindset. I've got to bring you glory. And I cannot bring him glory lest I sow the narrative of heaven into my heart. I will not bring him glory when I'm full of myself. I have to trade off my thoughts, my narrative, for a heavenly doctrine and heavenly kingdom. Sow the word. Sow the word. When adversity comes, you will walk right through it. And if you fall along the way, and if you come up a little short, and you utter your last breath, and you go home early, at least you died soldiering, baby. If I live to be 80 years old and these eyes never opened up, I never stopped confessing that it was the will of my God for these eyes to open. Let's go forward and keep soldiering, baby. Let's soldier and sow the word. Let's soldier and sow the word. In this little church, you're here. You are all soldiers. We've all made mistakes, but you are soldiers because you know what we teach here. You know what we teach. But you're here. You are soldiers. You've made mistakes. I've made mistakes. I talked to somebody today. I said, I want to commend you. I want to commend you. You made a mistake. You came to me. You told me. I didn't look for it. You came to me, and you made the adjustments. You told on yourself. And you made the judgment. I said, you are my hero. Sow the word. Sow the word. Sow the word. Sow the world, Christina Hardy. Sow the word. Miss Rosie, sow the word. Julio, sow the word. Marty, sow the word. Have you ever thought to yourself, this young generation, they got one thing in common. Many would tell you, I can't read the word. Have you ever stopped for a second that that was by design? I can't read it. Don't make me go back on Facebook and count your posts. Don't make me go back and count them. You do what you want to do. You do what you want to do. I want you to make it. I want you to soldier. I want you to make it through adversity. We got to make our papa proud, man. There's 6 billion fowls in this world that need a great branch to lodge under. Let them see the light of God inside of us, man. First the blade, then the ear, and the full corn on the ear. Let's endure hardness as good soldiers. How do we endure hardness as good soldiers? By holding fast or firm the word of God that we've been taught. Preaching sound doctrine is good on our part outside of this church, but living it is even better. We have ripped people's heads off because they're not firm or sound in their doctrine. Yet we live like hellions ourselves. At least I have. My righteousness was the soundness that I knew and could articulate, but yet was not living. Let's be real careful. Let's be real careful. Let's sow the word. Amen. And I can make you this last promise. I guarantee you, I promise you, guarantee it that Pastor Bronk will never ever run off with the secretary. I can promise you that he does not flirt with the secretary. You know why? Because I'm the secretary. And I do not find him attractive. So there won't be a schism here. Trust me. He will not run off with me. I won't let him. Sow the word. Sow the word. Sow the word. Keep it with patience, Miss Barbara. And we keep it with patience. We don't have to say it. We don't have to do it. The parable of the sower is this, in these last words. The apostles knew the power of keeping the word of God. They knew the power of keeping it. And they kept it with patience. Who fulminated the force of consistency. Therein, my friends, is a display of the kingdom. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. What's hidden in our heart is God's word. It's a seed. Seeds grow so that society can see the love that we walk in. Sow the word. Sow the word, Kirsten. Sow the word, Frankie. Sow the word, Alex. Sow the word, Carl. Sow the word, Elder. Sow it, Reuben. Sow it, Delia. Sow the word. Sow the word. Sow the word, Barbara. Sow the word, Homer. Sow the word. Sow the word and keep it. Sow, keep, sow, keep, sow, keep, sow, keep. Sow it and keep it. Sow it and keep it. Bring forth a harvest for the Father. There's no harvest in inconsistencies. Hard times are going to come. You were structured and you were born for adversity. Sow the word. Amen, Mr. Ralph. Sow the word. And keep it. Therein is fellowship with the Father. As the servants of Christ, Ephesians 6, doing as a voluntary slave of Christ, as a voluntary slave of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart with good will, as doing service not unto men, but unto God. When you deal with people, you deal with them out of your spirit. When you deal with circumstances, you deal with them out of God's word in your heart. That's what a slave does. They hurt me, they cursed me, they stole from me, but my God, your word is written in my heart. Father, I volunteered to be a slave in your army. This might hurt me, it might bother me, I might feel like a coward, but I'm going to keep that which I know to keep, Father, because I love you. So the word, amen. Stand with me, please. Can I ask you a question? What should we name the message tonight? Sow the word. In this, I know I wasn't qualified when I first got ordained, but that doesn't beat me up. I'm just going to fix myself. Amen? I'm just going to fix myself. But you're all tough in here. We got some tough elders in here. Got some tough people in here. We got a bunch of Rocky Balboas in here. Sow the word, my brothers. Sow the word. You were structured for adversity. Let your light shine like a city set on a hill. Amen. Father, we bless you. We glorify you and we praise you, Father, that your spirit in us is sufficient. And we transform our thought process by sowing kingdom principles into our being, Father. Fellowshipping with you, Father, so we would hear your word and keep it, my Lord. I ask that you bless my brothers and sisters, that they remember the message tonight, To sow the word is easy to do it, Father, when we feel like it. That they would dig deep, Father, and sow it when they don't. And the day will come, Father, I can promise them, where they will sow it so much when they don't feel like it. The days of not feeling like it will cease, and they'll love sowing the word because they know it's fellowshipping with you, Father. So we thank you for it, Father. Your blessing, your angels surrounding them, Father, pushing back every force of darkness, Father, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, God bless you. See you Sunday.